Maybe there's somebody here today with aspirations of becoming a leader, a great man, a great woman, perhaps with a dream to start your own business maybe and become the director or the CEO, the chief executive officer seems to be the term that we use today. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's in line with God's plans and purposes for your life. Amen. God gives us dreams to dream. Always remember, though, that the Bible says that we dream our dreams, but the purposes of God supersede and are greater and more important than our dreams. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here even has aspirations to lead a nation. Well, if ever there was a time in the history of the world when we need godly men and women to take up positions of leadership, it's today. We seem to be in a time where the blind are leading the blind. And what's happening is that whole nations are falling into the ditch, aren't they? And so there's nothing wrong with having aspirations to be in leadership. I pray earnestly, my prayer this morning is that there will be younger people here whose aspirations are to go into the ministry. Hallelujah. That's not something that we choose to do ourselves. That's something that God calls us to. Amen. Oh, you need a call. Amen. If you've not got the call, you won't stay the course. Hallelujah. It's the call that keeps us. Whenever I start to get discouraged, whenever I start to get tired, whenever I think, oh God, why am I doing this? I think of the day that God called me. Amen. And until He calls me to something else, I have to do what God called me to do. Maybe one day He'll change the direction of my call. I don't know. But at this time, I know where my call lies. And because of that, it keeps us. When we're tempted to do things, to be distracted, to go down alleyways and roads that are not of God, the call keeps us. And we need a call. Amen. Every one of us needs a call. Starting out in ministry, starting out in our career, starting out in our education, whatever it may be that we're starting out in married life, hallelujah. We don't have much experience when we begin. All things are new. Seems like every day is a new day, a new beginning, a new opportunity. And we need to grasp those days and we need to grasp those opportunities to learn. Hallelujah. To learn. You see, there is a wisdom that comes from God. It's imparted into us. The Bible says if you don't have wisdom, ask for it and God will give it you. In the book of James, James encourages us to pray for wisdom. And there is an imparted wisdom, a wisdom that comes from heaven, a wisdom that comes from God, that God can impart into our minds, into our spirits, that is higher than the wisdom of man. And so there is imparted wisdom. Let's pray for that. If we're going to be successful in whatever it is that our hand finds to do, we will need the imparted wisdom of God. But there is also the wisdom of experience and the wisdom of years. Amen. The Bible talks about honoring gray hair. Amen. Gray hair is a sign of maturity. When you've got a bald head, it's a sign of stress. But anyway, praise the Lord. There is a wisdom that comes with age, with experience. Been there. The world has a saying, doesn't it? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And it's true. As we go on through life, we learn. And we find that that process, those two things are very real and very happening in the life of Jesus. Jesus was filled with a wisdom that was beyond his years. We know that because of when he argued with the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple, and he absolutely flummoxed them by his knowledge. Now, he'd not learned that from Joseph. Amen? Joseph was a carpenter. You can learn a lot from a carpenter. I know, I have experience in this matter. Those of you who don't know, my father was a carpenter, is still a carpenter. Just doesn't have the energy these days to do the carpentry that he used to do. Hallelujah. But he's still a carpenter. Once a carpenter, always a carpenter. Amen. But Jesus didn't learn his wisdom from a carpenter. Yes, he learned how to saw and how to nail and how to plane and how to put a door frame in, and in my case, how to put a floor in. I've learned a few things over the years from Dad. And I've learned some spiritual wisdom as well, praise the Lord. But Jesus, at 12 years of age, didn't receive that wisdom from his Father. He received it from his Heavenly Father. Amen. It was imparted into his spirit. He knew who he was. He knew of his destiny. And the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't argue with him because of that imparted wisdom. Pray for it for your children. Amen. Pray for imparted wisdom. Pray that they'll have a wisdom above their years, because the world today is just bombarding them with image and with the so-called wisdom of man. It seems that it's ramping that up so that we have to conform, our children have to conform with the wisdom of this age. Listen, there is a higher wisdom, but our children need it imparting from heaven. Amen. They need it putting into their spirits. They need to know that they are quite within their rights to question what is taught them at school. Amen. Praise God for school teachers. Praise God for an education system in this country of ours that is the envy of other countries. But listen, not everything that are taught to our children today is the truth, is it? You've heard me tell this story before, but this it goes back so long. When I was at school, when I was in the sixth form, the man who helped to found this church, Fred Durant, was one of the first pastors here at Bethany. His daughter was with me in the sixth form at Woolston School. She was biology. I was physics and chemistry. She was biology. And the biology teacher said to her at the beginning of her sixth form, she said, "You will reject everything that your father has taught you by the time I've finished with you at the end of your A-level course." Well, praise the Lord, she's a missionary in Taiwan today. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, there is an imparted wisdom from the Lord that keeps us, even from the pressure and the molding and the shaping that this world wants to do to us. Jesus had that wisdom. The Pharisees, the scribes, the priests couldn't turn him. He knew what he knew because of the imparted wisdom of God. But look what else that it says here. It says the child grew and became strong. Hallelujah. You see, there is a growing into things. And our responsibility, those of us who are a bit older in years, our responsibility is to encourage the next generation to grow into everything that they can be. I see that now as my primary role here at Bethany. Now, some of you might find that a surprise, but 18 months ago, the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly and said, "Now is the time." And the funny thing was that as I was meeting with other ministers, they were saying the same thing. It was like God was doing a thing across the churches to say that now is the time for the next generation to begin to step up and to be all that they can be in God. And I see that as my role now, to facilitate the next generation, to pour into them what God has poured into me. What others have put into me, I want to put into them, hallelujah, so that they can grow. Just as Jesus grew, I want them to grow. Whether they're 6, 7, 8 years old, whether they're in their teens or whether they're in their 20s, I want them to grow into all that they can become in God. Jesus grew. He was mentored by his mother and father. Of course he was. I'm sure too that to some degree he was mentored by the local synagogue because he would have been in there every Sabbath day. Joseph and Mary were a very godly family. We know that. And he would have been in there every Sabbath day, hearing the Old Testament scriptures read. And to some degree, he would have been mentored by the local priest in the synagogue. And he grew in grace and in strength. And it's our turn now, hallelujah. It's our time now to begin to mentor and to strengthen this next generation. The child grew and became strong. The word strong there refers to both the physical and the spiritual side of his life. Amen. He became physically strong, probably as a result of working in his father's carpenter's shop. He developed as a young man, but he also developed spiritually. And he became more and more sure of his call. He became more and more sure of who he was. So at the age of 12 even, he could say, I must be about my father's business. Not talking about Joseph's trade in woodwork, amen. He knew who his father was. Even at 12, there was that imparted wisdom in him that told him that Joseph wasn't his dad. That his dad was his heavenly father. Hallelujah. And he grew, filled with wisdom. But look, in verse 52, just go down the page there, and into verse 52, and it says there, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Praise the Lord. You see, at the age of 12, it says Jesus was filled with wisdom. And yet later on in his life, it says he grew in wisdom. And there are times when we think, well, we've done that, been there. Amen. We're wise now. We've received it all. There's no more to learn. Listen, we will be learning till the day we see him. And then, when we see him, we'll know him. Hallelujah. Until that day, we are learning. We are all learning. We're all developing. Never get to that point where you sit back and think, well, this is it, now I've arrived. Hallelujah. Jesus was filled with wisdom, and yet he grew into even more wisdom. Many people stop growing when they think they're full. And the reality is, we actually go into decline. Once we think we've made it, once we think we've arrived, we actually start going backwards from that point. We need to always keep our relationship with the Lord fresh, current, up to date, real, receiving, being filled with the Spirit, being filled with knowledge, being filled with wisdom, being filled with understanding, being filled with revelation. And Jesus is our example of that. He grew in wisdom. And the result of that wisdom is wonderful because it brought him to a place of favor with God and man. And we need favor with God and man. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the favor of God. We need the favor of God. Hallelujah. We need to accept the favor. We need to pray for the favor of God. We need to believe that God wants to favor us. But listen, too, we need the favor of man. And God can give us that. It's a strange thing in a society that is so anti-Christian and so secular, today the churches have favor in a strange backward way with both the government and the councils of our nation, because the government recognizes that if the churches stop doing all the work that we do in the communities, the nation would more or less collapse. The government knows that and calls it the faith groups. It doesn't refer to us specifically as Christian. It calls us the faith groups. But believe me, 70-80% of the social work that is done in this country is done by Christian groups. Amen? Praise the Lord. We are about our Father's business. That's what He meant for us to do, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing it more and more as we see the day getting darker and darker. The faith community, the Christian community in this country is alive, and considering that we're a minority species in the nation, we do very well, hallelujah, in what we do. And the government knows that. The Warrington Council knows that. It's just glad that it doesn't have to do all the social programs that the church does, because we do it for free, don't we? Amen? We do it because we love the Lord and we want to reach the community. We save the government billions every year by doing the things that we do. Hallelujah. You see, wisdom will not only bring us favor with God, but it will bring us favor with man. And it's not wrong to pray for that. It's not wrong to pray that God would put this church at the heart of the community. It's not wrong to pray that God would bring people in through the shop, people that we meet day after day, people who are needy people who are broken people who are looking for something that the world can't give them. Lord, give us favor. Hallelujah. Give us favor in this community. Let the community see us as the place where the Christians meet. I'm going to close in just a second. Let it be like it was in the days of the apostles, where they called them Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they did the things that Christ did. And the community looked at them and said, they're the Christians. Not because of a uniform that they wore, but because they did the things that Christ did. Amen. They were good ambassadors. They were wise. They understood their place. They understood what God had called them to do, and they stood shoulder to shoulder. They worked together and they got the job done. And so the people looked and said, they're the Christians. Hallelujah. Oh, that Warrington would look at our churches and fellowships across the town and say, there are where the Christians meet. That's where the Christians are. Oh, that they would know us in our streets. That's where the Christians live. Amen. Not by the fish on the back of our car, but by the way that we are. Our demeanor. Amen. Our attitude to life needs to be so different from the rest of society. See, we're not grasping, are we, for the next thing? We're not a grasping people. We're a giving people. Our hands should not be like that. It should be like that. That's what God wants. The wisdom of God. Amen. Yes, Solomon was a great example of wisdom, but he blew it. Jesus was a greater example of wisdom, and that wisdom took him to the cross. It was the wisdom of God. Amen. The Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. That's God's wisdom, not ours. Man's wisdom would have took him and made him king. That was the wisdom of man. Lord, when will you restore unto us the kingdom? But Jesus was talking about a different kingdom, a heavenly kingdom, God's kingdom. We heard Viv speak about that so clearly last week. God is a kingdom God. Amen. Bringing in the gospel of the kingdom. That's an open hand, not a grasping hand. Amen. That's an open hand. Bit of sign language there, Christine. I got that, yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's the way that we should be living our life, isn't it? Not grasping for the next thing that will benefit me or help me or bless me or prop me up on the ladder, send me up to the next rung. If God wants to promote you, he'll promote you because you'll have favor with men. Amen. If we live the Christian life, we will have favor with bosses. Believe me, bosses love Christians because they do the work that they're told to do and they do it with less fuss. They're not going out doing booze in the night before so that they come in the next morning hungover and sick and ill. Amen. They're not taking sicky days off when they shouldn't be taking sicky days off. Bosses like Christians. It's even told about the Chinese authorities many years ago when communism was first forced onto the Chinese people. And the Chinese authorities didn't understand why certain villages produced far more crops and goods than other villages. And they started to investigate and they found out that the villages that were producing the most were the ones that were Christian. Amen. Because the people had a mind to work. It's like that in Nehemiah, wasn't it? The Bible said the people had a mind to work. The wisdom of God. It's so different from the wisdom of man. So different from the wisdom of this age. And so let's pray. I'm closing now. Let's pray for imparted wisdom. And let's pray for wisdom and growth in stature and in favor with God and men. Take those experiences, learn from them, and God will use you, God will bless you, and God will give you favor. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, Lord. Your word is true. Lord, we can only say amen to what is written. Lord, we said yesterday that we need to base our lives upon, Lord, that commitment to you, Lord Jesus, that commitment to other, and the unshakable riches and foundation of your word. And Lord, we thank you for that. And so we pray, Lord, that these words that we've read together this morning will remain in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, this week we'll be a wise people. Lord, wise to the tricks of the enemy. Lord, wise to the foolishness of society. And Lord, wise to the glories of our God and Father. Lord, give us favor. Lord, we pray for your favor. Lord, upon our own lives, upon our families. Lord, those that we care about, we pray for favor, the favor and blessing of God that makes us rich and adds no sorrow. We pray that, Lord, over our children and our grandchildren. Lord, we pray too that you will give us favor with men. Lord, those who are looking for jobs, give them favor. Lord, those who are in employment, give them favor. Lord, those of us who are working in ministry, give us favor. Lord, those who represent the churches here, give us favor. Lord, we pray for the favor of men in our town, that each fellowship, Lord, that's represented here this morning, will just be given favor by the council, by the community. Lord, that they'll look at us and, Lord, they'll see us modeling your word. And so be with us this week. Bless us, keep us, watch over us. Help us to live under the shadow of your wings. Protect us, heal us, bless us, provide for us. Lord, all those things that you want to do as a loving Heavenly Father, Lord, let us experience them all this week. And Lord, we will be so quick to give you all the praise and the glory as we bless your name together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.